Wake up, adventurers. It's time for another Hello Hyrule bonus episode. I am your co-tour guide, Chris.
And I'm your co-tour guide, Pete.
And today we have our second new style of bonus episodes dropping.
Four Swords really keeping us on our toes this season, huh?
Absolutely. We have to be a little bit adaptable because, you know, sometimes punches get thrown at us and sometimes we have to throw punches back.
No manga. No award show.
No manga. I'm kind of bummed. There's so much Four Sword related manga with Four Swords Adventure. But we'll get to that in due time. Today, we are going on what we're calling the departure for Four Swords. Pete, what's a departure?
Well, everybody, pack your bags. It's time to check out. Turn your keys in at the front desk of the hotel. We are departing from this travel destination that is Four Swords Anniversary Edition. Before we, you know, set off in our, what are we traveling there in, Chris? Like on a plane? In the bus? Does the bus just go the whole way?
So is the idea, because we know that to get to this specific map, you need to go through a portal, don't we? Right? So what, do you drive a bus through the portal? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yeah, we'd have to drive the bus directly back through the temple. And into through Hyrule Castle.
That's some more Fortnite stuff for you. Do you want to start talking about Fortnite again?
I have nothing to say. If you want to just have a one-sided conversation with yourself.
Hey Pete, guess who's in Fortnite right now? Deku from My Hero.
Well, all right, listen, this is neither here nor there, but I'm kind of falling off of MHA right now.
Okay.
It's like they're very rapidly trying to wrap up the story and it's making things go in a weird direction. But,
That's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. Similarly, we're trying to wrap up our season on Four Swords Adventures, and we're not going to do a proper swordies, because I don't think we have it in us to do a proper swordies.
I mean, most of the good stuff from Four Swords is stuff that's also in Minish Cap, so it feels kind of weird to do, right?
Yeah, but there is some good, unique stuff here, and there's also some regrettable stuff that we wanted to talk about one more time. So we do have a few lists prepared, and we're going to just kind of have a casual conversation about some of the bests and the worsts.
Very casual. I barely prepared.
Yeah, I mean, same. But I think that, you know, regardless of how we feel about Four Swords Anniversary, I think this has been a very fun season. So I think taking a moment to kind of just kick back and remember the highs and lows should still be kind of a fun time. And
sure.
Hopefully it's a fun listen.
So what exactly, because I know you listed some categories to me earlier, Chris. What, where are we starting with this?
So I have things I enjoyed, which we can just say goods.
Show me the goods.
I have things to get rid of, absolutely, which we can do that as like a list of our bads or low points.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have just a short list of things that I would like to see them try if they ever took a swing at a multiplayer Four Swords game again.
Ooh.
We kind of touched on this topic in our Tourist Trap with Josh Nichols last episode.
I feel like we touched upon like changes we would have made in basically every episode this season.
Yeah. So I came up with a few since then. So this will be like just one last opportunity for us to talk about, you know, a few fun ideas.
one last chance to try and be a little positive about this game.
Just so that in like 3 years, if they actually do put out a new Four Swords game, mm-hmm. we could be like, haha, I said they should do that and now they're doing that.
Yeah,
I called it. I predicted the future.
We did that. We hold all the power.
All right, so let's start off with our list of things that we enjoyed about Four Swords Anniversary.
Oh, get the hard one out of the way quick, huh?
Uh-huh. So... Do you want to start us off or should I?
Well, let's see. I did not prepare, so let's see if I can think of the most positive. I mean, there's definitely a clear divide between like the things that I got out of this season versus the things that I got out of the game, right?
Sure. And we could talk about either of those in our list of goods, I think, to be honest.
Well, I mean, my list of goods, the top has got to be the theories I came up with for the season.
You came up with some absolutely killer theories this season. I agree. And also, our community came back with some amazing stuff as well. The thing that just blows my mind about some of these 2D games is like the less they have, the more we've been coming up with.
Yeah, and you know what? That tracks, because if they don't give you stuff to play with, you're going to, at least, I mean, maybe I am projecting here, but my imagination is going to get way overactive.
Yeah, absolutely. And just this season, I think, considering it was like a 3-episode season,
mm-hmm.
we had... like the most theories per episode, and I think some of the highest quality theories that we've had in any of the seasons yet.
I'm so excited. Do you think ever that, like, the theories that just get spat out on the floor of this podcast, like, will somehow make it to the ears of, like, more prominent Zelda theorists on YouTube?
I don't know. Every now and I hope so. You'd shoot us an email if you have a Zelda YouTube channel. We'll shout you out. But every now and then, someone in, like, one of the few Discords that I'm in will be like, oh, I was listening to this episode, and, like, I totally agree with this theory. And, like, my brain has already forgotten almost every theory from Skyward Sword and Minish Cap that we've come up with. I'm not gonna lie.
Podcast amnesia is real, dude. Any podcaster will tell you.
So it would be a surreal experience to be watching a YouTube video and to hear someone reference something that we've said and just completely blank on what we were talking about.
I think that happened in our last recording too, talking about Zora theory, and I just spaced for a minute. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
That's a good one. The deity theory. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. My first thing that I enjoyed, and this is about the Four Swords Anniversary game proper, I really like the opportunity to have condensed focus levels in a Zelda game.
Oh, sure.
Like, I wouldn't want this to be in every Zelda game for sure, but, like, to be able to turn my brain off and not have to worry about, like, what NPCs are saying, and to just kind of battle or do, like, the most basic of puzzles. I kind of liked that to some extent. I mean, they really beat you over the head with it by the end.
Yeah, it definitely had the genetics of, like, Zelda dungeons overall. Like, a lot of it was predicated on walk into a room and all the players step on a button to start the fight, mm-hmm. which is, you know, understandable. But, like, there are also plenty of points where you have to hit the switches in the right way. You have to, like, figure out the ways across collapsing platforms in the right way. Stuff that is definitely more reminiscent of a traditional Zelda game.
Yeah, but it's all kind of secondary attention stuff. Like, it's, you don't have to be overly engaged in any of it to get through it. Aside from the high rupee counts that you need to beat some of those later epics.
That's the only thing you're going to be aware of the whole time.
But, like, even going to, like, Four Swords Adventures, which is a superior game in almost every regard, there are some levels where it's like, talk to an NPC, then go to another area, then go back to talk to this NPC again and see, like, the different dialogue that they have. Sometimes I just don't want to think that much, which is, to be clear, I know that's, like, bare minimum thinking, but sometimes I want to think less than the bare minimum. This game gave me an opportunity to do that.
The fact there's even NPCs, though. The grass is always greener, huh?
That's true. There are a lot of NPCs.
I'm out here starving for attention, and you are, like, just like, man, just everyone just leave me alone.
All right, so what's your number two?
My number two of positive things to say?
Mm-hmm.
I liked the new Zelda design.
It's a good Zelda design.
It's a very small detail, but I like it.
Yeah, you know what? I totally appreciate the fact that they came up with a unique design for Zelda for this game. I think it's a great design. It's a great look for her, and it's a shame that we don't see more of it through the franchise.
If this stays as just the Four Swords design, I think I get it.
Yeah, I can't think for the life of me right now if this is the same design she has in Four Swords Adventures. I wouldn't be surprised if this was the same design she had in that game.
I mean, even then, it would still just be the Four Swords design.
Totally.
Yeah. Let's see. Was there, because that was kind of a cop out, that answer. Was there anything like...
Oh, that was a good one. We'll keep... I have five, so, like, we'll keep going.
You have five? By all means, give me another one.
Okay. You can see the dive in the quality of my goods almost immediately. I really like the feeling of all the rupees popping up when you beat a tough enemy room.
Okay. Kind of the popcorn rupee areas. Those are kind of
fun. The popcorn rupee areas. Yeah, I don't know. Those 2D Zelda game rooms rewarding you for doing a tough battle.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's, like, never fun to fight a ball and chain soldier in a Zelda game. So the least they can do is shower you with an unreasonable amount of rupees.
I'm starting to wonder if Four Swords Anniversary actually has the number one least fun ball and chain soldier.
You mean the one in the Heroes Trial?
I mean any, because they all behave the same way.
They're all pretty bad.
I know it has the worst Armos. I know that.
I just did a run of the Den of Trials in Triforce Heroes with a few friends.
Oh, okay.
And at the very end of it, there is a room with a ball and chain soldier, it is an insufferable experience unless you have a fun little outfit that makes Link's bombs tremendous, and you take the bomb and you just lunge it at the ball and chain soldier.
Okay.
Yeah, they put you on a tiny platform with a ball and chain soldier that I'm pretty sure curses you if you take a hit.
Oh, boy.
And the curse makes it so you can't attack for like 10 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, that's standard Zelda curse.
Yeah, so it's up there. I mean, I think it's probably worse than this game, but there's a lot of bad ball and chain soldiers out there.
We're going to have to, I mean, I imagine the further in we go, we're going to be figuring out which games have the worst of each.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, what's your next one?
My next one, wildly inventing, give me a moment. Hikun and Nokun.
That's a great one.
I think those two are great. I like their design. I think they are very interesting to fight. It is a shame you don't see them in other games, although I get why, because who's going to assist in pulling these things apart?
Yeah. Well, they could pop up in Adventures and in Triforce Heroes, but they don't.
That's a good point. Maybe they just don't want any reminders.
No, but I agree. Like, the moment where you discover how you take these enemies down is a very memorable moment.
Do you think it might have worked in, like, Twilight Princess if they showed up and, like, Midna would help you pull them apart or something?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Or even just, like, the hand, like, the wolf and the hand at the same time.
Yeah. That, like, I think there's potential for something like that, but not a lot of it in single player.
It kind of reminds me of how you take out... What is it? Not the pose, but the Twilight monsters, how you have to like...
Oh, yeah.
You have to get them all down near each other. And
you down
then,
them and then you rip their heart out with your teeth.
Yes, exactly. Okay, that's a good one. So specifically Hikun and Nokun, right? Like no love for the Bulbul?
No love for Bulbul ever.
I just wanted to make sure that was clear. I'm on the same page.
It is... There's two monsters. Well, there's a few monsters in this game that make me want to unhinge my jaw and eat my own head. And Bulbul is one of them.
I think that's a reasonable response to those weird apple crickets. All right, my number three is the Realm of Memories. I think it was like a fun, nostalgic play. And at the end of it, you actually got a great reward for your time, which is something that this game absolutely never does elsewhere.
That's a good point. I mean, do we want to put like... Is it fair to put on a list of things that I liked just things that were competent?
I genuinely thought there were moments in the Realm of Memories, like the way that they actually had locations from Link's Awakening.
Sure.
And they kind of had locations from the other games.
Right. No, I think the levels themselves in the Realm of Memories were great. I'm referring more to what you said about like the reward at the end.
Oh, the Master Sword.
Yeah. Like that's a real reward. That's genuine substance you're being given.
Uh-huh.
As you're progressing through the game, beating any of the epics, you don't really get anything like that.
Nothing of the sort.
There's no new dialogue, no scene, no anything. The Great Fairies change appearance and say a new line of dialogue. And that's if you go back, which you're not going to want to do.
Why would you? I have no idea why you would go back after you beat the final epic. Yeah, you're... I don't know. I guess, if anything, I just want to remind people one last time, hey, beat the Realm of Memories and get that Master Sword so that you can play through the rest of this game.
ASAP. It is mandatory.
But I genuinely like Realm of Memories, and I wouldn't mind seeing them do something similar to this idea in a future game, for sure. Actually, this might come up later in this episode.
That's a good point. I would like to see, you know, some... There's a lot of Zelda games with time travel. None that let you travel to another game. That would be pretty cool.
That would be a lot of fun. I have a couple more. Do you have any more, or should I just rattle off my next two?
I think I'm tapped right now. I'll let you know if something comes to mind.
So my next two are very quick ones. I think there's some good music in some of the levels of this game. I just think that they need to be longer sound clips. For 2D Zelda level music, it's totally fine. It's not bad at all. In fact, some of them actually feel like proper music for the levels you're in. It's just like they knew how long on average people would be playing each of these levels for, right? Like it's wild to me that they're like 40 second sound clips just going over and over.
This is just an extra that came along in the same cart as Link to the Past, right?
Four Swords, yes.
And they weren't going to write new music for this thing, an anniversary edition.
No, they weren't going to come up with like big epic pieces. I mean, the hardware was limiting no matter what.
Right. But that having said that, like, I do agree with you that like it would be really tight if they somehow made an HD re-release of this game, but like with proper long songs.
Totally. Yeah. There is something there. I, you know, we've been dunking so much on the Chamber of Insights music, which is like totally like.
Would Chris, would you be surprised if it's still in my head right now? Like, not even
it's
joking.
It's been in my head this whole recording. It's why I sound so frazzled. All right. My last good is that little whistle that gets everyone back to you quick. I think that's a genuinely good idea.
Just the sound?
No. Okay. Not the sound. The gameplay mechanic of having a whistle that gets everyone back to you quick.
If you were playing single player, sure. Like, that's really the only place it would... Because you wouldn't want that if you're playing multiplayer. You suddenly drag all the other players back to you.
I mean, maybe you would want that. None of your friends would want it. but like, again, playing Triforce Heroes right now, and even playing, because I played a bit of it single player, mm-hmm. and you just don't have that. You have to control each one of them, or you have to totem them upwards.
Oh, that's right.
And carry them, which means that you can't sword attack enemies that are, you know, ground level, which is like a whole thing.
Oh, so if you can only use your sword if you're at the top of the totem pole?
Exactly, yeah.
Huh. That kind of sucks.
It's good and bad. Like, there are times where I really like Triforce Heroes. There are more times where it's like, all right, there's a bit of a slog.
So you can be in a position as a player, there are going to be moments where you can be in a position that you're just a block not doing anything.
Where you're just a block not doing
like
anything.
If you're in the center, if you're like the middle piece of this human centipede, then like,
oh,
you,
yeah.
Yeah, like you're not doing anything.
Yeah, you have the ability to throw the person above you, and that's about it if you're in that middle piece. yeah, it's interesting. And like I said, it's even more weird if you're single player because of the mechanics around that. But again, if you just that whistle to bring everyone back for a single player multiple link game, I think is actually a really useful mechanic. And like, it's nice in the moments where you're in a puzzle and you get across the puzzle with one link, and mm-hmm. then you could just quickly bring everyone back to you. You're like, oh, I don't have to do that three times.
Sure.
Again, maybe it's like a thing of like, oh, okay, you got past a bad thing, and then you have a slightly convenient thing, so suddenly that slightly convenient thing is an amazing thing.
Playing Four Swords Anniversary, did you ever experience this where, like, you whistle to call your helper in, and they get caught on something and don't show up right away?
No.
Never, not once.
You mentioned that very early in the season, and I never saw that happen.
Really? That happened to me like a few times.
So what would you have to do?
I mean, here's an example. There's this one sub-level in Sea of Trees where there's this perimeter kind of moat river around the outside of the level. And at one point you get the rocks cape to where you can jump across either bank, right? And there's no normal way to get to those. So if I were to jump across and be on that end, but Blurtis is not there, if I were to call him, he would either stay on land or stay in the water, but not warp to where I'm at.
Ooh, that's frustrating.
It usually didn't cause me that many problems. And also, like, if I were to move somewhere else and whistle, then he would show up. But for some reason, there are certain spots that they will not follow you.
Very weird.
I'm ready to say goodbye to Blurtis, man. I'm telling you.
Well, be careful what you wish for. All right. I'm ready to move on to our things to get rid of. Or our bad. Our list of bads.
Oh, boy. That was the list of positives.
Yeah, we kind of complained through the list of positives, didn't we? All right. My number one. If you have multiple links in a game and you're playing a single player game, please don't let the CPU links take damage. And if they do take damage, please don't make it a single pool of hearts.
Well, they didn't get hurt, right? It was mostly like just getting, unless they were on fire.
I mean, in Four Swords, it's specifically the fire that I'm referring to.
Yeah.
That just, especially like during the boss fights, just,
fighting Gowen. Yeah. Going back to between characters, and either one is just on fire when they were not in that state when you left them.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't have this on my list, but like making Link frantic as he takes status effect damage.
Running around on fire is in just a couple games, thank goodness, because I think they came to their senses on that.
Like I said, I'm playing Triforce Heroes, and you can absolutely get lit on fire in that game, just like in Four Swords Anniversary.
There's... I'm just going to be ticking off a counter of how many of these are left.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have anything that you think was bad about Four Swords Anniversary Edition?
Let's see. This is a tough question. And what was the prompt exactly? It was things to avoid?
Yeah, things to get rid of.
Things to get rid of.
Scrapper Scrappums, sponsored by Scrapper.
Let's see. Things to get rid of. Because it's hard to answer, honestly, because there's...
You could just listen to all the episodes of the season.
No, no.
Every 5 minutes we have one.
Here's the thing, is that there's so little in the game to begin with. Like, getting rid of stuff, you almost don't have a game anymore. And that's not a joke. That's just literally a problem.
Good thing I have things I would like to see them try after this, so they could fill in those gaps after they remove all these bad things.
That's fair.
All right, I have another one while you keep thinking.
Okay.
High rupee limitations.
Oh, yes. Remove. I mean, why stop at the word high? Just remove rupee limitations.
Absolutely.
Just make it a level that you have to beat and then you go to the next one.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just me playing on a keyboard single player anniversary edition, but like it feels like antithetical game design to have like high rupee limitations coupled with like enemies all over the place trying to sap tons of rupees at a time.
Uh-huh.
You get rewarded if you finish a level fast, mm-hmm. but you also kind of want people to like slow down and farm rupees in the grass and in the respawning enemies. It's like, don't put like a bonus at the end of the level for finishing the level fast. Put a bonus at the end of the level for clearing out the level.
Yeah, that's a good point.
For taking down 50 enemies. Like, reward people.
Ooh, like achievements.
Right. Like, if the rupee limitation is going to lead to people having to slow down and grind a little bit, don't punish them for having to grind, you know? Just a little bit mean.
Again, they gave us a single player, but they didn't really think it through.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to see what they were going for in some regards.
Okay, I don't know if this counts as a thing to remove, Chris. Can you remove the fact that Blurtus does nothing when you play as yourself?
Oh.
When it's just you, Blurtus sits down and does nothing. Can we remove that and thereby make him do something?
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about Four Swords Adventures is like, he'll just follow you and swipe his sword with you.
Yeah, that's...
like, that's enough. That's all I want is him to also swing his sword.
Just do what happens in Minish Cap, even.
Yeah, where they're all doing the same thing.
Yeah, they follow you in a line or whatever formation you make, and they just attack when you attack. It's so simple.
One of my favorite things about Four Swords Adventures, by the way, is when you have to pull a heavy lever, all of the clone links have a very cute animation.
Oh, yeah?
Where they all, like, conga line and help pull each other because it's so heavy.
Oh,
it's so cute and good and wholesome.
That's cute.
Anyway, there's none of that in this garbage game.
I wanted to be so positive about this game. I came in with ideals, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. I think we were mostly positive throughout the season. This mm-hmm. is a bonus episode. We're having fun ragging on it. I don't think we fully hate Four Swords Anniversary. We had fun doing this season at the mm-hmm. very least.
I think for what it wanted to do, there was plenty of room. I mean, there still is plenty of room to where you can take this formula and make it actually a fun game. Like, I kind of dig the idea of going to a stage, so to speak, and it being filled with randomized puzzles and challenges as you go through.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. You can make that work as more of a party game kind of thing if you just have, like, maybe 3-4 new worlds,
yeah.
Right? Through new levels that you can go through and randomize it that way. People will... Listen, you go back and play even a game with static levels like Gauntlet Dark Legacy, or, you know, Crystal Chronicles, maybe, like, where the levels don't change, but you'll go back. I played them and I kept going back to those levels because it's a fun game to play.
Absolutely.
Four Swords is not a fun game to play.
It's not. It's kind of not. Yeah. All right. So some of what you're kind of getting at wanting to talk about, I have listed in my things I would like to see them try. So let's get past the rest of our scrap-ems.
Okay.
Do you have any more? Because I have two I could get done real quick.
Going.
OK, Going.
Just get rid of Going, the whole thing. Get a whole new boss, put Gleerock in there, do something else. Like, this boss is not doing it.
It's a shame, because I like the hero trial design of it. Like, the hero key design of it, that final version.
Sure.
But yeah, the boss fight's not very fun. I also don't like Darazul's boss fight.
That one, it didn't bother me too much. It just takes too much time.
Yeah. Okay, so Gowen's gone. I think if you're gonna, and this one's a me thing, but I just want to get it out because it'll be cathartic. If you're gonna require me to play your stupid game on an emulator, please make it easy for me to be able to attach a controller to it. Because holy cow, playing any Zelda game on a keyboard is not an ideal experience, but especially a Zelda game like this one.
Chris, I played this with a controller.
I know.
Must have
been nice.
I thought, okay, I misinterpreted what you were saying. I thought, like, you just thought it was impossible.
No, I literally couldn't figure out how to get my controller to hook up to the emulator properly.
Oh, no.
And, like, I know how to do computer... Listen, I don't mean to brag here, but, like, I know how to do computer stuff, okay?
Yeah, you're Mr. Computers.
I'm kind of Mr. Computers.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe that's a me thing. Anyway, my last scrap-em is heart container resets.
Ooh, yeah, big time.
It's such a easy staple thing for Zelda games.
Mm-hmm.
At least just to reset a level or to get to another level and the heart container count goes back down.
Oh.
Just no bueno.
I thought of another thing that I liked, actually, believe it or not. I'm jumping all around here in these categories you made.
Okay.
The armor seeds and the razor seeds and the... What's the third one?
Speed. Is it speed?
Boot seeds. the red, the blue, and the green seeds. I thought that was pretty cool. Like, so the idea that you can have like a temporary boost is pretty good.
So, okay, I'm kind of with you. Like, the RPG mechanic there is actually kind of an interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they like reset if you get a game over, like the fact that you could get like into a late level in any given stage and then lose your boosts.
I do agree. Definitely let you keep the heart containers. That hurt for a Zelda game. That breaks all convention. That hurts. The seeds, though, in a party game sense, make sense to lose eventually. Kind of like, you know, when you have items in Mario Party.
Yeah, but there was something about, I think, going through like the later like epics and like the Heroes Trial and getting a few levels in. And then, like, for one reason or another, losing those seeds and being in, like, a late-game level with, like, low-level stats and being like, oh.
Well, that's actually just in between every level of the Hero's Trial, I think. Like, if you go through a portal, you just lose your seeds.
Right, okay. Yeah, I do like it as a general mechanic. I'm kind of with you there. And that is my list for my goods and my bads, I think.
Right on.
Do you have any others that you wanted to shout out?
I'm sure more will come up.
Okay. So let's get to the last section of this, which is things that I would like to see them try in maybe a future Four Swords game.
Cool. Can I go first?
Please.
A plot.
Oh.
A real plot.
I mean, you're in luck.
I want the blue fairy to come down, wave her wand on this game, and give it a real plot.
I mean, yeah, I think Four Swords Adventure is going to be exactly your jam in a lot of ways.
I'm looking forward to it, honestly.
I agree. A plot would have been nice here. I'm also, like I said, I'm okay with like a turn your brain off Zelda game that has none of that, but I'm with you. My number one was an idea that was inspired by the Heroes Trial. If you're going to have people replay levels, it would be cool like if they were different season variations in each level.
Oh, okay.
Similar to like Oracle of Seasons does this, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So like you have like the cold area for some of these levels in the Heroes Trial.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be doing these epics over and over again, just make them blue sometimes and orange sometimes. Ooh, you know?
That's a good idea. Like, I mean, even if it's just aesthetic, that's a good idea. Because like if you switch it up and give them like new abilities, though, like based on the location,
ooh,
then
new
like
enemies,
then you also have the kind of convention of mixing things up. You're in the ice level and a fire one shows up. What do you do?
Yeah, I'm into it. I mean, again, like if they revisit this down the line, I get they probably had a lot to do in a little bit of time and they were stuffing this on a cartridge with another game. But, you know, just something to think about for the future. Do you have another a number two?
Oh, I would consider making the tools that you use unlockable. Like, this is a Zelda game, right?
So unlockable, but then what, can you switch between them at any point? Like, are they just in your inventory?
Maybe you pick them at the start of the level. You know, they could be interchangeable as you go through. Maybe, you know, Binding of Isaac style. Like, you have an allotment that you have that you can discover throughout your game. But whenever you find a new one or whatever, that unlocks it for later runs.
That's an interesting idea. They would have to be smart about that with, like, the possible puzzles that you get thrown based on that. Like, if you're choosing it at the start of a run.
Sure.
But, I mean, I like that idea.
Add, like, the Cane of Pachi. Add, like, you know, what's that tool from Link Between Worlds with the propeller?
Ooh.
The spinny wind propeller?
Yes, yes, yes. I really like the idea of being able to cycle through an inventory as opposed to pick one up and drop one.
An inventory would be interesting for a game like this. Like, the I don't know if it would hurt the flow.
But, and then you just reset the inventory each epic, like, clear it out at the end.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea. I didn't think of that.
Could be fun. I mean, honestly, if you want to make a party game, and this seems like they wanted to make a party game.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
If you want to do that, make it more, you know, colorful in that regard. Don't just have these random pedestals with the same six items over and over again.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a very good one. My number two is expand the realm of memories in the future.
Sure.
It's such a good idea, the realm of memories.
Absolutely.
Here's what I'm proposing. Show some of the 3D games in 2D.
Ooh, interesting.
Like, do a King Bulbin chase from Twilight Princess, you know, in like a 2D space. Like, reenact, like, fun moments from 3D in a little cute little 2D space.
Yeah, why not?
I think that could be such a fun thing to do in the realm of memories.
Is there any other moments that would work with this kind of thing? Like, oh, you know what? If you, like, they drop you into the Twilight realm, that'd be pretty cool.
Sure, sure.
You go to, like, the Stone Tower Temple from Majora's Mask with, like, platforms flipping upside down and whatnot.
Yeah, there you go. You could take any action segment out of any 3D game and find a cute little way to represent it in 2D.
Yeah.
Do you have a third thing you'd like to see?
Better music.
Better music. Take another shot at that music. We know Koji Kondo's there. We know he's in there.
Mr. Kondo, you're very capable.
Mr. Kondo, we need you.
I'm trying to be nice. Mr. Kondo, you're very good at your job. Please help these people.
Yes. Yes. I have a few that are just things from other games that I would like to see them put in a Four Swords game.
Okay.
So my first one is just easy controllable battling, which is just like what they have in Four Swords Adventures. Four Swords Adventures is a GameCube game, so you have that yellow C-stick. And if you press in any direction on the C-stick, you have battle formations.
Yeah.
And all of the Links face in different directions and can easily attack and, like, defend each other.
Yes.
It's really cool.
That sounds so good.
And it would be at home in a game like this, especially with some of those hero trial fights. It would be fantastic.
Give it to me. Oh, man.
Another quick one I have. Some fun little outfits.
Oh, okay.
Triforce Heroes is all about fun little outfits. And I love it. It is so fun to see these silly little Links dress up, and they all look so good.
Now, the outfits in Triforce Heroes, that's like power-ups, right?
Each outfit will, like, give you some kind of stat bonus, right? So, like, there's the bomb outfit that will let your bombs become massive, so you throw giant bombs.
Uh-huh.
There's, like, the Kokiri outfit, which is a cute little forest witch outfit that lets you shoot three arrows instead of one with the bow. And like I mentioned, I got through the Den of Trials, which is like the hard trial in the game, with some friends over the past week. Shout out to Kex, Nina, and King. And we unlocked the Fierce Deity armor.
What? For real?
So now I just have the Fierce Deity armor so that when you and I cover Triforce Heroes, I could just play that game as Fierce Deity Link, who has sword projectiles in all four different directions, which is a lot of fun.
What?
And Chris, and he has sword projectiles when you do a spin attack.
This.
And he has, like, double sword attack power.
This is very confusing.
Listen, we're going to have to talk about some of the ramifications of this possibly when we get to the Majora's Mask season.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I'm very excited to show off my fit when you and I get to Triforce Heroes.
I'm also interested in the fact that there's another game in the franchise that actually references the Kokiri.
Oh, yeah.
I thought there was no more of that.
It almost feels like a Breath of the Wild thing. You know how, like, Breath of the Wild, you have different outfits that reference the past.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, the DLC ones.
Yeah, exactly. It almost feels like that.
That's pretty cool.
And my number five is online play. You need online play. You need it.
Yeah, it for a game like that, I sincerely hope that they do port Four Swords Adventures at some point. That way we can just play online normally.
Yeah.
Not having to emulate it.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like we have all these gripes and sometimes we have to step back and like separate what gripes are there because of the weird way that we have to play this. But it's like we can't really let them off the hook for that because it's like, again, those are decisions that they made to not make this game available. Like, it's not on us. It's not like we're trying to be frugal or lazy.
Yeah, no, if I get it. I mean, if for this game in particular, I get it, okay? Like, if I made this, I would try to sweep it under the rug too. Get it.
I don't know if that's what they're doing. But
Four Swords Adventures, for all intents and purposes, Four Swords Adventure sounds really good.
It's fantastic.
So why not port that one?
Yeah, port that and find a way to make that online for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so that's my list of things to ideally add to one of the future games. I mean, half of that list was just things that they did add, so take that as you will. But I'm hopeful.
I wanted to say, you know, I was trying to find a way to say it without saying it, Chris, that like your ways to improve this game is just to make it those other games.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if they do another Four Swords game in the future, I do feel like the lessons have been learned since Four Swords Anniversary. So I'm hopeful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know we've been kind of down on this, but I think there's so much potential, and that's what we're getting at, is like, this is almost something that we could really enjoy.
Yeah.
And it just falls short of that in some areas. So with that, in lieu of a proper sorties, should we still celebrate our bests and worsts for the travel recommendations?
Yes. I'm excited.
Okay. So Pete has gathered a list of our travel recs over the course of the whopping 3 episodes that we've done for this
this Titanic season.
You know what? I'm glad that I didn't say we should eat a person. As I look over this list one more time.
Yeah, think again.
Stray fairy. That's not good. Yeah, that's not good. All right. I'm still a danger.
You're still in big trouble. The guards are on their way, Chris.
Well, that's not going to be my best one. Anyway, so we have best bites, favorite attractions, and favorite photo ops, right?
Yeah. Do you think we should start, you know, same the normal order of the episode? Start with the photo ops, work our way down?
Yeah, let's do it.
My best photo op is the entrance to Vati's Palace.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That place looks really good, and it's like up there in the sky. You can get like a ton of good pictures just in that room.
That's that like red ripped up carpeted area.
Yeah, with like the big fairy door.
That's a great area. And it's kind of, I mean, it's not always exactly this one, but that door is a recurring theme throughout this game. And
sure,
I mean, I think it's like one of the images from this game that will likely stay in my brain, you know, after the fact.
Oh yeah, the weird ceiling entrance for the hero's door.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you're at, the hero's door is on the ceiling.
Yes. All right, my favorite photo op is ripping Haikun in half and sending that picture to Vati to let him know you're coming for his.
Really? That was one of your best, huh?
I like it. You're sending a message. You're delivering a message.
Yeah, the Chicago way. I get it. It's actually that one and one other, Chris, that was a contender for my worst photo op.
What? No, that's good. Actually, that's good, and your taste is bad.
For tourism? That is brutal.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that this is for tourism. That would be like a fun like 2-page spread, just have it like happening across, like, you know, remember when you used to open those Game Informer ads and it would be across.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say like the last page on a Mad magazine where you, it's got the fold
in. It would fit in there too, I guess, huh?
Well, you know what, Chris, I'm just gonna say it, that actually now is my worst photo op.
No, it's the best one. What are you talking about?
The other one was going to be you throw yourself into a volcano and take a picture.
That's a good one too, actually. I remember how tired I was.
Or is it that someone else would take a picture? I guess
it would probably have to be someone else. Yeah,
which under the circumstances with some of the suggestions you got this season, I think they might be for the best, maybe.
All right. So my murder ransom photo is your worst.
Uh-huh.
I think my worst, to get right back at you, is when you said any fairy fountain.
Really?
I mean, come on. You get fairy fountains in all of these games.
Sure, but they don't look like this with all the, like, the tons of stray fairies around it and, you know.
Easy peasy.
Was this a revenge pick? Be honest. Is this a revenge pick?
This was 50% revenge motivated and 50% holy cow, I forgot to pick worst motivated. Let's go to your favorite attraction.
My favorite attraction is one of yours, actually, which was magnet glove crater jumping.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
Okay, I forgive you now for being mean before. My favorite attraction was when I said they should make Hyrule Castle into a bouncy castle.
That would be pretty sweet. Hyrule Castle is not in this game. That is one of the things you said during this season, but Hyrule Castle is not in this game.
How did I get away with that, just out of curiosity?
Because you were saying, it was during the Great Fairy Tour, you were saying like this, like a place with lots of spring pads, but you didn't name a specific place. And then you said like, oh, imagine Hyrule Castle. Yeah, that's what I want. I want Hyrule Castle.
Okay. Well, guess what? I still want it, even if it didn't appear. You know what? Hyrule Castle did appear in this game, you ding dong. It appears in the Realm of Memories and Link to the Past. So
oh, dang. You got me.
Get some bouncy floors in there. And you can bounce out of here with that bad attitude.
My least favorite attraction for Four Swords is bungee jumping off of the Hero's Trial Tower.
Yeah.
And that's just for me. I don't think I'm ever going to bungee jump in my life.
So I'm not as against bungee jumping, but I also don't want to do it on the side of a massive sword coming out of the ground. So I think I'm going to go with you on that one. That is my worst.
You get sliced into a ribbon on the return trip. It's not great.
Imagine just being on the ground underneath that happening. Just like a pool of blood just comes. Oh.
Oh, it's an episode of Metalocalypse in the making.
Yep. No bueno. Okay. What's your best bite?
My number one best bite, Chris, may surprise you. Gini.
What? Okay.
You said they taste like marshmallow sauce, and that sounds great.
I'm glad that resonated with you, because it's such like a specific thing that probably means nothing to so many people. Like, marshmallow sauce is just two words.
I want to dip my fries in pureed ghee, and I need this stat. Thank you.
I guess that's not as bad as saying you'd eat a person because it's already a ghost. Well, no. Ghosts are people, too. Ghosts have rights, too. So you know
what? But Ghini are like monster ghosts.
I guess Ghini are monster ghosts. How many eyes do these Ghini have?
I think just the one.
Okay. You can eat these Ghini, then. My best bite is when you said Bulbul crab cakes.
Yeah, that was kind of my runner-up. I wonder if it's just because I'm kind of hankering for some crab cakes.
Yeah, it genuinely sounded good. And it's like, out of the new unique things in this game, that's actually like a logical choice.
Not to mention, based on the flavor profile we've built up for Bulbuls, I'm pretty sure you could have a pretty decent crab cake with like bits of apple in it. That'd probably be okay.
Agreed.
Survivable at best.
All right, what is your worst bite?
I think you know what my worst bite is, Chris.
Here we go. I did this to myself.
Yeah, we're building a reputation here.
3, 2, 1.
Stray fairies.
Yeah,
you can't help yourself.
I panicked. I genuinely forgot most of the episodes of this season that we were going to do recommendations,
specifically Stray Fairies, which is a piece of a shattered great fairy. So you just guaranteed this one can't come back together.
You know what, listeners, help me out here. Listener Pete, close your ears. Listeners, help me out here. I need you to write in and tell us some like good stray fairy recipes to make me not sound like a complete weirdo and creep. Please make this make sense, because I'm dangling here.
You're
all right, Pete. You can listen again.
Oh, I was definitely not listening.
Okay, good. So I guess that's gonna wrap up our best, some worst, and our favorite travel recommendation. So if there's nothing else, we can take a trip to the post office.
Yeah.
So our first postcard comes in from Invisible Ghost. That's spooky.
I think I prefer Invisible Ghosts. You don't want to see them, do you?
I don't mind. I would rather see them, I think. They're probably friendly. I will tolerate absolutely no ghost slander on this show. We are friends of ghosts on this show.
We're friends of ghosts, not fairies.
Friends of ghosts, friends of fairies.
Not friends of fairies, not friends of people dressed as fairies also.
Okay, fair enough.
You got the stink of fairy on you, you're going on the chopping block.
Invisible Ghost says, very good podcast.
Oh, that's it?
And that's it? Thank you, Invisible Ghost. I hope you feel that way about this recording.
Yes. Thank you. We have here, we got a few long emails, Chris.
We have some good emails this week.
Oh, yeah. One postcard from William on Gmail. Amazing podcast. Definitely one of the best. Thank you so much for this amazing podcast. I just recently found you about a week or two ago, and I listened to you throughout my shifts at work, and I have already caught up. Right on.
That is very quick.
I have learned so much of Zelda despite having played all of them, and I absolutely adore the travelogue aesthetic. P.S. Minish Cap is the best.
Okay.
I mean, I'm willing to say, I do think, honestly, right now, Minish Cap is my favorite 2D game.
Really?
It's definitely solidified in there. Once we retread some of them throughout this show, I might change my mind, but that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, Minish Cap is great. Thank you, William. That's very kind. I can't believe how quickly you've caught up. That's impressive.
As someone who binges a lot of podcasts at work myself, I am very impressed.
All right. I have a review here from Miyapona. Miyapona says, I like the Skyward Sword episodes. The hosts were eloquent and agreeable. Looking forward to more. Wow. Eloquent and agreeable.
I feel so professional suddenly.
Again, it's always like weird to read that on the back end of an episode where you said that people should eat a stray fairy.
Where I said that?
I mean, it's something that we said out loud. We didn't say maybe that we agree with it or not, but we still put it out there.
Yeah, well, we did release that into the world. That's fair. Oh, we have another email here from the Grand Titan.
Ooh.
As you may recall, did a couple of pieces of fan art.
I love me a Grand Titan email.
Grand Titan says, hey guys, I have for you today the Skyloft Student Guardian, the Short Stack Colin Guardian, and one of my favorites so far, Guardian Flofty.
Oh.
And we'll see on the, you see here.
I love this.
He drew up some of the Silent Realm Guardians and Flofty in like school garb.
He's got the big sword wielding Guardian wearing a backwards blue baseball cap and a vest. It's perfect. And Flofty looks like a shiny Pokemon. Are you kidding?
Let me take another look at that. Oh yeah, this is fantastic. Honestly, like the Guardian Flofty kind of strikes me as like if Flofty was a sword spirit like Fi.
Yeah. Grand Titan, these pictures are a lot of fun. This Flofty is very cool.
Banging. Very good.
Keep up the good work.
Goes on to say, also, I have an idea. Since Pete loves to eat everything, and so do I would like to see you each make a Legend of Zelda bad guy chili.
Oh, no.
Which Legend of Zelda baddies would you put in your chili? What flavor would each individual baddie bring? What would the overall taste be? And what would you name the chili?
Okay. Okay. Do you want to start that one off?
I don't know if this is like a cop out, okay? I'm picturing like a seafood chili, right? You got Bulbul. You got Octorok. That's right away, immediate. I thought possibly putting Riversor in there, but that's technically a person, so I'm going to lean away from that. The flavor, I mean, obviously you're getting like a nice seafood flavor going on here. Easy to answer.
A seafood chili? I don't know if I've ever had something like that.
That's got to be a thing, right?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I mean, if it doesn't work out, just throw it down on a paella. It works.
There you go.
But what would I name it? Jeez, I have no idea. I want to play with the name like Surf and Turf, but there's no turf in it, just Surf. I mean, I would just call it just Surf.
I would for sure eat that, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
So for me, I would combine like Hinox for like the beef.
Okay.
And then like a Magmanos, like those fire hands from Skyward Sword.
Okay.
For like the spicy chili. So like Magmanox. Magmanox chili. Magmanox chili.
Magnanimous chili.
No, Magmanox chili.
Okay, sure.
And then I think you got just a good traditional chili dish.
What is tradition? You use the word traditional so loosely just now.
I think beef and chili is like a common thing.
Beef from a pig man and spice from a lava hand. Two very traditional things.
Very traditional. That's what I'm saying. All right. Next postcard comes in from Flying Guardian 500.
Oh, yeah.
Flying Guardian says, you guys are the best. I love Legend of Zelda. So fun, so fun. P.S. Bye.
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 An email from Blake, who says, my vote for the order of games to cover is to cover the child timeline first and go all the way to the end. Majora's Mask and Twilight Princess tend to be a lot of people's favorite games, if not for Ocarina of Time, and many feel that Breath of the Wild fits in with the child timeline. Hmm. I haven't heard that, have you?
No, but I do agree with the sentiment that a lot of people love Majora's Mask and Twilight Princess.
Oh, for sure. Goes on to say, covering the child timeline also gives you a better variety compared to the adult timeline or the downfall timeline, which each tend more to have a certain style associated with them. I continue to enjoy the show. Enjoy your break, but come back soon.
Thank you, Blake. Yeah. That makes sense. We'll find some way to let people vote for what they want us to pursue next after Ocarina, but I certainly would not mind going through the child timeline first.
I don't know about you. Personally, I'm starting to lean towards the downfall first based on my theory based in the last episode.
I certainly would not complain going through those games again. And also, I think those games are mostly fairly light. Those would be fun, easy seasons to do.
There'll be less to talk about, so quicker seasons.
Yeah.
Real snappy.
Yeah, that would be great.
Blake also says, on episode one, you guys start talking about the Majora's Mask moon, and Chris, trying to rein in the conversation, says
some things never change.
Yeah. Says that you'll get to it in 70 episodes. If you can finish Ocarina of Time within the next 19 episodes, bonus episodes included, this could be exactly true.
When this email came in, I very excitedly looked at our general episodes outline to see how many episodes Ocarina is looking like it's going to be. And it's not going to be 19 episodes. It's going to be more than 20 episodes. And that's without bonus.
Is it close?
Right now, I think we're at 22 episodes just for Ocarina without bonus episodes.
Okay.
And we will likely have at least two bonus episodes for that season. So it's not happening. I would love to take credit for being a prophet, but no dice.
Not this time, anyway.
We have a review here from Chaos Potato. What's up, Chaos Potato?
Yeah.
He says, you guys have to be my favorite podcast ever. Your in-depth descriptions of everything is just amazing. I love just straight up watching the episodes for hours on end. Too bad I'm all caught up now and have to wait.
Oh.
Also, I have a question for you both. What does the Master Sword taste like?
Huh.
I'm sure something somewhere could eat it, so try your wildest, funniest guesses. I hope you guys have a fantabulous day. And excuse me. What do we look like? Big Goron?
Here's the thing. If we were to, we've answered previously, you know, with a Goron mindset, like possibly we could get something off of that.
It feels like if you were a Big Goron and you put the Master Sword in your mouth, like a big dummy, it would be like if you put a toothpick in your mouth and had it like vertical and then closed your mouth. Just like insufferable inconvenience.
Oh, you think it's painful?
I don't think it's enjoyable. You think eating the Master Sword is painful? Yes, of course I think eating the Master Sword is painful.
Hang on. The Gorons can just give it like a polite like lick, like an ice cream cone or something.
What?
Get a taste.
Oh, man, what are your Google search results filled with?
They don't got to... You don't want to know. They don't got to chew. They don't got to chew it. It's fine.
Okay, so what do you think the Master Sword tastes like?
I mean, obviously metal, if we're going to go with a human mouth, human palate. But for a Goron, I have to say it would probably be like the equivalent of like something wintergreeny minty, that kind of thing.
Ooh, that's a good point. It's like a power kebab, right?
Yeah.
This is like Hylia's light force in this sword. It's just like...
It's refreshing.
I guess so. This is like when a Hylian eats a stamina fruit. It would be like the equivalent for a Goron.
Ooh, interesting.
I say that and I don't feel good about it.
I guess like if they eat a magic weapon that can leech the magic off a little bit, maybe.
Here's the thing about it is Fi is in there.
Fi is going through a lot right now.
Fi doesn't deserve this.
Ghirahim, though. Well, you know, once we figure out where that sword went.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eat Demise's sword. That's going to be like a spicy, like a chili dog.
It's like a, I was going to say like it's like a fudgesicle.
Or like a fudgesicle. Perfect. There you go. Thank you, Potato.
Yeah, thanks. Next email from Marley, Captain of the Hylian Guard. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
We got an important person. Hello, hello, Hyrule. Thanks to your in-depth travelogues from across the lands, we have discovered the gross negligence of our patrolling soldiers. Mm. Apparently, while I was absent from the area in search of that strange lad clad in purple who dared to petrify our princess, our men were either lazing around or doing nothing in this emergency, teasing a poor boy by making him do spinny tricks or even straight up assaulting him. To make matters worse, the boy they were disturbing was the princess's little friend. He was personally tasked by Arcane to reforge our treasured sword, a task he was uniquely qualified to do as both the grandson of the local blacksmith and a child of pure heart. It pains me that I couldn't return in time to retrieve the sword from him, and he had to take up that burden. When I was about to return to the castle, I suddenly heard a terrible roar. I say it was from a T-Rex if I knew what that was.
Ah, T-Rexes are canon. I get it. I get it.
They're in Talus Caves. You see the bones.
Uh-huh.
And I had to investigate the threat. Regardless, you two did a good deed pointing out the failings of those guards. We will need to do a lot of retraining, restructuring, and replacing of personnel. And for your outstanding service, please accept 20 mysterious shells.
Ooh, no, you can keep them. You can keep those.
Well, apparently you can eat them, so I'll give them a shot.
Okay, fair enough.
Excuse me, postcards.
Did we narc the narcs?
Did we what the... Huh?
We narked on the narcs.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of have to, right? You got to keep them in order.
I guess. I hope this actually does something, because, boy, they were pretty useless in Minish Cap.
Yeah, oh, boy. Possibly the worst guards I've seen. But thanks for reaching out.
Thank you.
Also, out of character, Marley adds, love the show, caught up in like 3 weeks. Great work and excited for more.
Wow. The turnaround on you listeners for listening to all of the dumb things that we say.
Highly bingeable.
I appreciate it a lot. And also, I'm sorry that you spent all that time catching up and now we're going to take a break for like a month. But we'll be back with Ocarina. We will be back very soon.
Oh, so. Yeah. It's going to be a barn burner of a season. It's going to be really good.
Anyway, on a similar note, we have an email from Joey, the guardsman of Hyrule Castle.
Another guard.
Joey says, being a guard stationed at Hyrule Castle is unfortunately a rather boring task. While it is an honor to be tasked with keeping Hyrule and its people safe, most of the time I am finding myself walking around aimlessly back and forth. However, this changed when I found out about an ongoing series known as Hello, Hyrule.
That's us.
That is us. Listening to it has helped make time breeze on by. Pete and Chris do a wonderful job explaining about the areas they visit and ask questions that really make one think. You are giving us way too much credit. For example, their episode about the hero of Skyloft's time having to sneak through Elden Volcano after losing his gear, the fact that Bokoblins were able to pick up and carry the Master Sword, ooh, a blade evil cannot touch, still baffles me to this day.
Oh, good point.
It was sheathed.
Oh, yeah, that explains it.
It was she. The podcast is absolutely fantastic, and I find myself eagerly awaiting my next guard shift so that I may continue to listen to their adventures. While I'd love to ask if they may want some guard escorts during their travels through places like Death Mountain and Lake Hylia, I unfortunately cannot, as we have a special guest coming to visit, the King of the Gerudo himself.
Oh.
Something tells me this will be a meeting we won't soon forget. Pete, you got to reply to him.
We should probably
pause this and reply to him. Joey says to Pete and Chris, if they do find themselves reading this, I do wish you all a wonderful holiday, and I hope your adventures will continue. By the time anyone's hearing this, we're probably a few weeks removed from the holidays, but we also hope that everyone had a safe and enjoyable holiday. Thank you, Joey, for reaching out to us.
Yeah, and also, I hope you're not on the chopping block when Marley comes through.
Yeah. Also, I hope that the visit with the Gerudo King went okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it went fine.
I'm sure it's fine.
I'm sure it'll be great.
He has a PS there. A few of my fellow guards and I believe that Pete is actually 3 magmas in a trench coat. Ooh. Sorry, Pete. You got found out.
I'll never tell.
PPS, Chris may currently have a warrant out for his arrest and or questioning for wanting to eat David Jr. Hold on, I gotta just do a quick Google search.
Yeah, no, if you're looking for David Jr., he's already in witness protection. You're not gonna find him.
All right. PPPS, please do not go to Korodai. Korodai?
Oh, Korodai.
Please do not go to Korodai. I have heard tell that land drains the life out of you.
One day. One day we will have to tackle the CDI games, Chris.
Oh, the CDI games. Oh, no.
I think Korodai is Masks of Evil, or whatever it's called, Faces of Evil.
I mean, pulling the curtain back a little bit, I legitimately spent a few hours trying to figure out how to emulate those games, mm-hmm. and it's not easy.
I can only imagine, but we'll get there.
If someone knows how to do that, please reach out to us, and we'll figure out how to make content for it. One last thing, he does say that he is curious if we'll be covering the Link to the Past Nintendo Power comics as well as the manga for Link to the Past.
So
Pete did get me the Link to the Past comics a few years ago for Christmas.
I did.
He did. It was on my wish list and you got it for me.
So
when we get to that point, I'll find a way to bring it up. I don't know if we'll do like a super deep dive of it, but it'll for sure get mentioned.
Cool.
So Pete, if other people want to send us a postcard, how can they do it?
Well, really quick, Chris, I feel like we should address the elephant in the room vis-a-vis reviews.
Oh.
We did notice, not naming names, not important who it is or anything, but we noticed some people have been updating their reviews on iTunes, and that incidentally has been moving their reviews higher up on the list each time. That's cool. I love the enthusiasm, you know, but maybe reserve any additional thoughts for emails. The reason being, we might lose track at some point of the new reviews.
Yes, we want to read out new reviews. So, I mean, hey, if you want to create a new account and leave another review, we're not going to stop you from doing that.
I think that's fraud. I don't know if we're allowed to do that.
but yeah.
Definitely don't do that. And definitely don't go to the Apple Store and review us on every single device. Definitely don't do that.
But as much as we genuinely do appreciate the enthusiasm, it does confuse us when we are gathering our notes. So new reviews only, please. And thank you.
Love you guys. Thanks for reaching out, honestly. And if you have any opinions on this game, this honestly terrible game, you can send us a postcard at HyrulePod@gmail.com or by dropping us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read your messages here and you'll be helping more listeners like you to find the show. You can also find us on Twitter, Insta, and Tumblr at HyrulePod. And for the time being, if you want to find us individually on Twitter, I am at the edge of my Pete.
I am at a man named Babs. Are you changing your Twitter handle soon? For the time being?
Branding is important. It's just things are happening with the bird app. And
okay, I gotcha.
Who
knows? Yeah, you play it day by day with that place.
Keep an ear out. We'll let you know here if we have a new place.
Yes, absolutely. And with that, we will be taking a little bit of a break.
Yes.
This episode will probably come out sometime early to mid-January. We are planning on being back late February, so it'll be about a month.
Yeah, I think we said the week of Zelda Day, which is my birthday. How appropriate.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. So yeah, thank you. Thank you to everyone who listened to this season. Thank you to everyone who submitted theories. Thank you to everyone who submitted postcards. Thank you to everyone who reached out to us over the past 2 years. Honestly, I still feel as enthusiastic about it today as I've ever felt.
Yeah.
So thank you to everyone in the Hello Hyrule community. It's meant the world to us. And we'll be back. We're not stopping.
We're still having a really good time. Next season's going to be huge. We may also have some interesting surprises around the corner.
Oh, yeah. The time we're taking off is only so that we can make sure that we make the Ocarina season as good as it deserves to be.
But until then, I have been Pete.
And once again, I have been Chris.
Excuse me, podcast.
Ooh, that was like a roller coaster ride.
It was silky smooth.